I'm very thankful for the ministry that took place here Sunday. I don't really know how to describe it. Supernatural is what keeps coming to mind. It was rich ministry, and I believe some significant things happened in the spirit here on Sunday. And I'm very thankful. Be careful not to give accolades to any person after that message, but I'm very thankful. That's right. I'm very thankful to the leadership, all the leadership of Life Church, because I really feel in what was ministered Sunday, all the leadership exhibit exactly what was talked about, a spirit, I've said this publicly before, a spirit of humility and a spirit of love. And my wife and I felt that from our very first time before we ever moved to Yakima. We felt it when we came to visit, and we're just very thankful. So everything in the kingdom flows from the top down. And so it's a principle of the kingdom. And so I'm thankful for all of our leadership that exhibit that. And I just want to say also I'm thankful for my wife tonight because she prays for me, and I'm just extremely thankful for her and her prayers and everything that she does. Crying already. Man, not supposed to do that on Wednesday night. All right, so because the message on Sunday was so impactful, I can't get this idea of humility out of my spirit, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about the subject of humility, being humble, meekness. So it might be a little redundant. Hopefully you'll be all right with it. So to be humble, of course, like Bishop Schoonover talked about, is to abase yourself, to make yourself of low degree, to become lowly. To be meek, in some scriptures, it's basically saying the same thing, basically describing humility. And in some other scriptures, meekness is talking about more of a disposition, a mildness, a gentleness of spirit. To exhibit that, in Matthew 11:29, Jesus himself said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." And so he's really taking both definitions there. To be meek in that verse, he's talking about being gentle. He's gentle and he's mild, and to be lowly is talking about he's humble. He's humble in heart. This idea that Bishop Schoonover referenced about projecting. We all project something. You can project humility without actually being humble. And that's a challenge for all of us. But we all project something. You know, men project, depending on the crowd we're in, we project, you know, toughness, strength. And I think it's a human need, a human element of needing affirmation. And it can be a danger if we don't get our affirmation from the Word of God. We're going to seek it in other ways. When I was a child, about 12, my dad died. And, I think my mom did a great job raising me and doing everything in her power for me. And she's a great mom, is a great mom. But, you know, I'm sure there was times where I put on a front and I projected confidence because I was broken inside. I projected calmness when there was a raging storm on the inside, or confidence when I was completely insecure. We all project these things. A bully will project toughness and try to, you know, enforce his way And a lot of times it's because his dad did the same thing. A lot of times it's because he never received the love of a father. So we all have these things. And spiritually as well, in the church, we can get in trouble and, you know, put on this facade and run the risk of being a little bit fake sometimes. How's everything going? Oh, it's fine. No, it's not. But I know that's our typical response. We don't want to show people or tell people what's really going on. I want to be real. And Bishop talked about that. True humility is about being real, reality. And so we're either humbled or we either humble ourselves or we can be humbled. No flesh will glory in his presence. And so either way, the same goal can be accomplished. One might be a little bit more painful than the other. And I'm sure we've all experienced both. Some time ago, I volunteered over when I was in college at Eastern. And I was in this volunteer program where they gave us room and board. If we volunteered so many hours a week, it was an amazing program. I loved it. But somewhere along the way, I had heard that some of my fellow classmates that were doing the same thing, they were putting down on their hours, on their timesheet, something that wasn't completely accurate. And some of the employees were even encouraging it. They were signing off on it. Well, I don't think I did it as a practice, but I must have done it at least once because I was new in church, and the church I was a part of engaged in a season of prayer and fasting. And I remember getting under such heavy conviction that I knew I had to do something. And so I ended up calling my boss in the evening and telling him everything and had to make some restitution. And that's being humbled. That was really hard because I had his respect, and then I probably lost it there for a while. But then when you humble yourself and then you make things right, you tend to gain that respect back if you do things the right way. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, very well-known scripture, says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." So the whole condition is that we humble ourselves. If I don't humble myself, I'm not going to pray. If I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to do the rest of it. It has to start with humbling ourselves. There's many times we're all familiar in the Old Testament where the children of Israel were humbled by God. They would go through these cycles that are sometimes maddening to read about, where God would deliver them, and then they would get back into sin or go back up to the high places and worship false gods, and then they would go into captivity, and then they would be humbled, and then they would get back on their face, and they would repent, and it'd just be this cycle. And not a whole lot has changed. We still have a tendency to live that way if we're not careful. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, just to illustrate God humbling his people, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to do what? To humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether you'd keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you knewest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. It's not always judgment that brings the humbling of God. Sometimes it's trying to bring revelation. They had to know that they weren't reliant on the provision of God. They were reliant on every word that proceeded out of his mouth. Sometimes it brings revelation. Sometimes it's a wake-up call. It's the mercy of God, really, when he humbles us. But there's many promises in Scripture about the humble. One of the best, I think, is Isaiah 57, verse 15. And it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." To do what? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So if you and I are in need of personal revival, if you're feeling dead or stagnant or just stuck, if we abase ourselves, if we fall on our face, if we repent if necessary or get our eyes back on him and remove the distractions and be like that woman with the issue of blood and just fight through all the stuff and get to him and to the hem of his garment, if we will humble ourselves, we will be with him, it says. He brings us up. Just like Bishop talked about, if we abase ourselves, his hand exalts. He brings us up into that holy place where he dwells. He dwells there with a contrite and a humble spirit so that we can be revived. It's the only way of revival, individually or collectively. I'll just run through a few more of these promises. Psalms 37:11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So not just peace, but abundance of peace. The meek are going to inherit the earth. Proverbs 29:23, "A man's pride shall make him low." So a man exalts himself, and God will find a way to bring him down. Not to destroy, but to give him a chance of salvation. "But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." There's promises, so many promises about what God has for the humble. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Just what we were talking about. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." I think I said this before, but a way that we demonstrate our humility is that we trust him by casting our cares upon him. If I'm holding everything myself, you weren't designed for that. I'm not designed for that. I have to cast it off to him and believe that he does care and he is able to handle it. It's one thing to submit to an elder, but it says also be subject one to another, to be clothed with humility. It takes the grace of God, daily humbling ourselves. So how do we go about doing this, and what does it look like? A really powerful scripture in Matthew 18, verse 3. The disciples had just asked Jesus, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's probably not the right question to ask him. And he said, "Verily I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So I was trying to think, okay, what is this really saying? What is it about a child? Thankfully, the Amplified kind of spelled it out a little bit. It talks about trusting and forgiving. My children have not, thankfully, by the grace of God, have not gone without a meal. They have a trust that at least three times a day there's going to be food on the table, sometimes more. They have a trust. They don't have to worry about, thankfully, they've never had to, you know, sleep out in the street. They've never had to walk to church. God has provided. They have a trust in their father and their mother. Children just trust. They trust their parents. And if not, there's something broken. They're forgiving. I don't know how many times I've said something in the wrong way. Or, you know, if you're parents, you've been there, you're stressed, and your kids come to you, and you may not be in the right frame of mind, and you don't say something the way you should have. But they are so forgiving. If you apologize and, you know, pick them up, and they forget about it. You know, within minutes, they forget about it. Trusting and forgiving. Humble yourself as a little child. They're reliant. Children are obviously reliant on their parents. How reliant am I on him? Can I just figure it out myself? Do I try to just do it my own way if he's taken too long? How reliant am I? Children are reliant. I have to humble myself as a child. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. This is an amazing picture of humility. First instruction and then telling us how Jesus demonstrated it. In verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." How hard is that? "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So this mind that was in Christ Jesus. To make ourselves of no reputation, it speaks of emptying ourselves. I think Bishop referenced that Sunday too. The goal should be every morning to whatever I've got inside, I empty it on the altar. All of it. Good, bad, all of it. I empty it to him. I make myself of no reputation. Whatever this day holds, however difficult, whatever I'm facing, I trust him. Humility in this passage looks like obedience and emptiness. He became obedient to death, his mission in this life. Recently, I was reading a book. I've read it a few times now, I guess. It's called Maintaining Divine Operation by Brother Eli Hernandez. He was an evangelist that passed away in 2020. But there's a quote in this book that came back to and is so revelatory, I think. It says, "Do you know what the difference between submission and humility is? Submission is about losing your opinion. Humility, on the other hand, is about losing your identity. It's about losing who you are in order for God to reveal who he is in us." So in submission, we submit or subject our opinions to those over us, whether it be Jesus himself or spiritual authority or the police department or whatever. We submit our, subject our, ourselves to those over us. But humility, losing my identity, emptying myself, it's the only way. If I'm full of myself, there's not a whole lot of room for Jesus to manifest through me. And that's the challenge, the daily challenge. John the Baptist, of course, said, he must increase and I must decrease. It's the only way for him to really shine through us. So some signs that we maybe lack or deficient, whatever nice way to say it, in humility. And I have had all of these, so that's probably why they came into my mind. I struggle with being stubborn. And or I have to win every argument. If you've been married for more than 7 minutes, you have been humbled. And if you're still married here tonight, you've learned to humble yourself. But having to win every argument and having to have the last say may be a sign that could be a little pride somewhere in there. I'm frequently stressed, worried, anxious, fearful. That whole verse about casting my cares. Obviously, things come up that stress us out. But how effectively I can cast my cares is the degree in which I trust him. And so if I'm always stressed, if I'm always worried and anxious, I'm probably not doing a very good job trusting in him and casting my cares. I don't pray. Back to that 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people which are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray. If I don't pray consistently, I know stuff happens. I'm talking about consistent basis. If I don't pray, then I'm trusting in myself. I'm telling God, I really don't need you in my life today. I've heard it said, your best day without God is worse than your worst day with God. If you have a great day and you haven't prayed, I would be worried. It's just my two cents. If I frequently judge people and compare them to my standard of righteousness, that's a tough one. If you or I struggle with the first thing we think about when we see somebody is, man, when are they going to grow up? Or, man, when are they going to change that or change this? Probably not an attitude of humility. And I'm thankful that's not here. That's not predominant. I boast about what I don't do. Bishop talked about that on Sunday. Well, I don't do this. I don't do that. It's like that Pharisee saying, God, I'm thankful that I'm not like that guy down there. I'm thankful I don't, whatever he said. I tithe of all that I make, and I'm thankful for who I am and who I'm not. Not the right attitude. And if I can't take correction and criticism, I'm probably struggling with humility. If I'm doing something wrong, or if anybody sees something in my life that is dangerous, that's hurtful, I want to know about it. I don't want to just carry on with a negative pattern. I want to be able to take correction. Some signs that maybe I'm growing in humility. I can't go a day without praying. I'm becoming a little more selfless, thinking of others' needs first. It's not natural. We're all, our nature is to be selfish. I think we all know that. So if the Holy Ghost is working in us, developing the fruit of the Spirit, we'll find ourselves, as we decrease and he increases, thinking of others' needs a little bit more. I quickly seek repentance when I mess up. I don't go weeks or months without repenting, without falling on my face. I don't want to be comfortable with anything in my life that ought not be there. I want to quickly seek him, because we are going to mess up. We're going to fall, but I want to quickly deal with it and get back up. If I can be the first to apologize, and again, if you've been married, I can be the first to apologize and not wait for her to do it. If I seek to think the best about people, again, not always natural, but if I can try, seek, ask God for help if I need to think the best about people before throwing stones, even if just in my own head. And if I cannot be offended easily, great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. If it's hard to offend you, you're probably a pretty humble person. Lastly, I want to talk just a little bit about Paul's thorn in his flesh. 2 Corinthians 12. I think we see a picture of some humbling taking place, but it's for a purpose. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12. And I'm almost done. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. And this is why, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So to buffet, it's not buffet, by the way, it's buffet. Means to strike with the fist. You're getting beat down, kind of in a lowly position, maybe like a humble position. Weakness and infirmities is the same Greek word. It means feebleness of mind or body, disease, infirmity, sickness, weakness. But I thought God was a healer. He is a healer. He is the healer. He is the only healer. Well, then why was Paul going through this? Well, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. There was reason for it. Reproach is insult or injury. Necessity is distress, or that which, having lack of that which is needful. Well, I thought God was my provider. Why do I have all this stuff that I need and I don't have? He is your provider. But we go through seasons where we get tested, or we learn to trust him. As we've heard it said here before, the only way I know that I need a healer is if something goes wrong in my body. The only way I know I need a provider is when I can't do it. I can't work enough. I can't make enough. I can't get out of this. I can't get what I need for my family. He's the provider. Persecutions, that's self-explanatory, being persecuted. Distresses is extreme affliction, a narrow place, dire calamity. Have you ever had that overwhelming straitjacket type of pressure? You can't move, you can't hardly breathe. It's so much upon you, the weight is suffocating. It might be that the power of Christ may rest upon you. When I am weak, then am I strong. Weak there means feeble, diseased, impotent, poor. That doesn't sound like a recipe for a good day. It's Brother Dawson says it's not your best life now. I completely concur. Oh, I love it. It's a place of humility. It's the only way that his strength can flow. If I'm full of myself, my own ability, if I'm full of my own strength, that'll get you so far. It might get you further than you think. It's still a bad way to go. It's still a bad day. The only way for the power of Christ, and that's dunamis power, that's miraculous power, that's explosive power, the only way the power of Christ may rest upon me is if I humble myself and get to a place of weakness. If I decrease so he can increase. There's no shortcuts. Many times I wish there was, because it's not an easy road. I want to see the things happen in the book of Acts that we read about. I want to participate in it. I work at a hospital, and quite frankly, I'm tired of seeing my patients die. I'm tired of just working a job, and I pray with people as I feel led to. But there's a way of living in that place where the power of Christ doesn't come and go, but it rests upon you. It that speaks of it tents over your life. It's a habitual thing that's a part of your life. It's connected to you. There's only one way if we humble ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. I think I'm done. Why don't we pray and ask for the help of the Lord? Jesus, I magnify you. God, I'm humbled in your presence. Jesus, I magnify you, Father. Lord, I submit to you, Jesus. Lord God, to you be all the glory. Jesus, to you be all the glory. We humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Jesus, flow through these vessels, God. In Yakima County, flow through these vessels, Lord God. We are set apart as vessels for you. We are set apart as vessels of honor for you. Flow through us in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. To reach this area, Lord God, that the glory of God would be manifested in Yakima County and Mattawa. Let the glory of God be manifest, Lord, through these vessels in this building tonight. Not to us, O Lord, not to us be the glory, but to your name be the glory, both now and forevermore. Jesus, your kingdom come and your will through us, your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we submit and surrender to your process. We submit and surrender to your process, Lord God. Jesus, the power that is within us by the Holy Ghost, let it be loosed, Lord God. Let it be loosed through your people, Lord God, through our hands and our feet, through our voices. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord God. We praise you, Father.
Hallelujah. I trust that you are receiving what the Lord is saying here tonight. I so appreciate the things that the Lord has been sharing through Brother Hartley. I If you know me, I don't really like to talk about myself much at all. But while Brother Hartley was speaking, the Lord brought a lesson, I'll put it that way. He brought a memory back to me about me that was a lesson of a time that I was humbled. And I just want to share it with you quickly. Let's look at verse 5 of that chapter really quickly. Paul said, we're in 2 Corinthians 12, where Brother Hartley ended. He said, of such a one I will not glory, yet of myself, of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. That means if there's one thing I'm going to brag about, it's not going to be what I don't do. It's going to be what I've learned about me that's maybe not the best about me. You understand the difference there? The lessons that I've learned. And I'm gonna be quick, okay? Don't worry. I'm not trying to start something here. I'm trying to end something here. But an example is, I don't go around, if this was me, I'll give you this example. I don't go around saying, well, okay, let's find an infirmity. Go around saying, you know what, I just get sick a lot. I wouldn't say that. But I might say, the Lord gives me a lot of opportunities to have faith in Him for healing. I've learned that about myself. You see the difference? One, it's saying the same thing. Health is an issue for me. But my perspective is not, oh man, I'm just always sick, and you're lucky if I'm here at church because I'm sick more than I'm not. And you see, there, that's not the attitude. The attitude is, I've learned that without the Lord's help in my life, I need His help, and I've got this infirmity. This story of mine, so many years back, I was doing a job and I was in payroll. And when you're in payroll, you work with numbers, but you also work with people's information, their names, legal names, social security numbers, date of birth, that type of thing. This job that I was in, the company had an accounting manager, and I was the payroll supervisor. The accounting manager was, this is a relevant detail, okay? I'm not just trying to throw this out there. She was probably about 20 years older than me at the time. That's a relevant detail. Because she left the company, there was a vacancy there. I entertained it for maybe, you know, half a day, less than that. Maybe I should go for that position. But I didn't. And long story short, the position was filled. And now, as part of my job, I'm going to enter the new accounting manager in the system, in the payroll system. The other relevant detail I'll give you is I was born in 1985. That matters for this story, because when I was going through and entering the details of the information of the new accounting manager, I get the month that he was born, I get the day that he was born, and I get the year that he was born, and it was 1987. That might not mean a lot to you, but I had trouble working the rest of the day. Because what I realized was the new accounting manager is younger than me. And I was not happy about that. What I'm doing here right now, folks, is I'm glorying in an infirmity of mine, okay? I'm sharing with you a weakness, because the Lord humbled me, Brother Nate, in that moment. Why? Because in my head, I started thinking, well, that should have been me. If no other reason, I'm 2 years older than him. Surely they would hire me for that reason alone. And then, you know, I started going through and I thought, well, but he's got this and he's got that. And I look at my life, well, he doesn't have this. that I've got that maybe is holding me back, or he doesn't have that. And it was like the Lord took me on the expressway of the Caleb infirmities. And I did not like that. I did not care for that. I'm thankful that Brother Nate shared all that he's shared here tonight, and especially where he ended up here in chapter 12. Verse 7 is where Paul says, "The lesson I've learned is that the strength of the Lord is made perfect in weakness." If I don't have weakness, I don't have room for the strength of the Lord in my life. Somewhere we've got this idea that you just need to get better, improve yourself, keep improving upon yourself and get better, do more, be better, work harder, try harder, until you've improved so much that there is no more weakness, that there's no more weak place in your life. That was not Paul. Our example in the scripture that we look to in this passage, his example was, if I'm given a chance to speak and I'm going to tell you something about me, what I'm going to tell you is the thing that makes me less than perfect. That sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Does that mean we go around just saying, you know, airing all the dirty laundry? No, and that's why I felt like the Lord had me use that I'm always sick example. Because you can go too far with this and go to the point where you say, well, I'm just never going to be somebody that can pray every day. No, don't go there. You know, you go too far and you say, well, they do all this good stuff and I'm just not going to do that. I won't be that. I can't achieve that. I can't reach that goal. No, the perspective is, thank the Lord, I've got room in my life for his strength to be made perfect in me. As I look around this room, I see beautiful opportunities for the Lord's strength to be made perfect in us. That's not a backhanded compliment, okay? Most of you, I don't know the inner workings and details of your life, but I know you are human like I am, and what that means is you've got flesh, you've got a mind and emotions. Brother Hartley mentioned infirmity is feebleness of mind and body. You've got that. You've got a mind and you've got a body. And I don't think there's anybody in here that is like on Albert Einstein level genius in your mind. No offense. Some of you are closer than I am, that's for sure. And I don't think there's anybody in here that's like, you know, Schwarzenegger level in the body. No offense. Some of you are closer than I am, much closer. But we're not at the perfect level. And thank God, because I need him to make me complete. I need him. I've got to lean upon him. Why don't you stand with me? I want to give us an opportunity to converse with the Lord about what he's talking to us about tonight. We've heard many great things. We've heard the voice of the Lord. We've seen it in his word. I want to embrace these things. Would you just be honest?